Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Here's the market report for today, which is Wednesday, the 20th of August, year of our Lord, 2014. Gold is down $4, $1,292.20 per ounce. Silver's up 7 cents. To $19.58 an ounce. Platinum is down 12 to $14.32. Palladium is down 15 to $8.70. Let's see where we are with our other markets. Dow Jones is up 67 points to 16,986, which means they're in striking distance of the 17,000 mark again, of course. NASDAQ is up 4 points to 4,531. New York Stock Exchange up 25 points to 10,955. U.S. dollar index is up 0.39 to 82.27. You know, that's really amazing to me. The dollar's made an almost extraordinary comeback. You know, I won't say it's extraordinary. That's not true. But it's made a serious comeback in the last month or 6 weeks from down in the vicinity of 78 and restored back to 82.27. That's certainly unusual. Crude oil is up $1.59 a barrel to $96.40 for a barrel of crude oil. Now, normally on days like this, which are Wednesdays, Wendy Wilson is here. But seeing that I'm merely the host on the program, I have no idea if she is. She's not. Apparently, Wendy is not here today. We had a little bit of a problem catching up with each other, and just now Frank's the producer. That means he takes the blame for everything that's messed up on the program. We make any mistakes, who do we blame? Frank. That's who gets. Frank gets the responsibility for any of the mistakes. Melody and I get credit if we do anything right on the program, but if there's any mistakes, it's the producer's responsibility. Hello, Frank. How are you doing?
Oh, okay.
All right. And we can't get hold of Wendy today, so what's up?
Oh, wait a minute. I think Wendy maybe have just joined us.
Did Wendy just join us?
Hello.
Oh, Wendy.
Hey, Al. I'm so sorry I got detained.
Well, it's okay. Was it private detention or was this professional by the police?
I was coming back from the post office. Had to get something in the mail today, and There's fire trucks and stuff, and we were all kind of prohibited from moving for a little bit.
All right. Well, in any case, I wasn't sure if you were going to be here or you weren't because there was some confusion earlier today and yada, yada. So
yeah.
What is it you'd like to... This is Wendy Wilson from...
Apothecary Herbs.
Apothecaryherbs.com.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because Melody's away, but always great to talk with you, Al. Let me ask you, are you a private person? You kind of keep your information private if you can, right?
I don't have much information, but generally speaking, if it's personal, I try to keep it personal. I try to keep it private, yep.
Right. Well, you know, with the Affordable Care Act and everything, there's been this re-engineering phase of our health care system, and one of them is a software platform that some doctor's offices and major hospitals are actually subscribing to or, you know, going with the flow, if you will, and it's called Hello Health. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't, but... is it hello or is it do they you sure they use the O on the end of that word or is it just a four letter word?
Well, good question. Well, it's really they're going with the savvy tech crowd. It was created in 2008 by a Canadian company called Mica. They were anticipating the changes I think the Affordable Care Act would make. And what this is like a social network platform for healthcare. So what this is the service allows patients to instant message their doctors through the Hello Health website. And patients and doctors, you know, can kind of interact through a social network. It's kind of the new age way to connect. And you can actually connect with your doctor without actually being at the doctor's office, without actually being examined by the doctor, and without having any secure private conversation, obviously, by the doctor. Because all this is going to be, you know, on a social network. It's right. Almost like, you know, take two aspirin and tweet me in the morning kind of thing. So the doctors actually don't pay anything other than initial setup fee. And then patients who want to use the service enroll, and they pay $35 a month in order to instant message, email, or tweet their doctor. Now, they don't actually have to be physically close to their doctor to have a visit. They can even do the video conference visit, which can range, depending on how long it is and how complicated your visit, from anywhere from $50 to $150, or $100, I should say. If you actually need to be seen by your doctor at your home, if you're under this program, your doctor can come to you, but it'll charge you $150 for the visit. So you may want to be asking what the pros and cons are to this.
I'm a little surprised by the economics. I'm surprised that you can get a doctor to come to your house for $150.
Well, if you're under this plan, you can see. And also, Hello Health gets a percentage of the office visits from the video conferencing to the physical visits at your house. So,
do these doctors speak English?
Yes, they're American doctors.
All right, I just wanted to be sure we're not outsourcing our Twitter to some doctor in India who's, you know, just humoring us.
Right. Well, this is kind of the concierge service of healthcare. And you may be asking why doctors would be wanting to do this. Well, it's for your new age doctors. This is a way to cut a lot of overhead. It's a paperless, administrative free kind of service. In other words, if the doctors don't want to hire a bunch of staff and don't want to see a bunch of patients in the office, they can just do it this way. They can actually be on the golf course and be tweeting patients and getting paid.
Now, that's the question on this. It's not clear to me how much is the doctor going to be paid every time you send him a tweet?
Well, they get a percentage of the monthly fee that the patients pay.
$35. They get a percentage
right.
of the $35.
Right. And then everything else is kind of a la carte, you know? And so it's basically called an e-healthcare advantage platform. And
they always have those kinds of names. We have the affordable healthcare, and
yeah.
we've got the advantage platform or whatever.
Well, supposedly,
I don't think they call these things, but they really are. Why don't they put one out and they call it the healthcare hustle? Why don't they call it hustle?
I don't know. Well, it's supposed to save doctors time, a lot of communication time, fewer phone calls, of course, the reduction in overhead, the administrative tasks. It's essentially a paperless administrator, like I said. You don't have to have a staff, all run on softwares. And, you know, so doctors are very interested. Let me read you some quotes by this one guy. He's a 32-year-old doctor, Jay Parkinson. And he owns a private practice. He's a, you know, general practitioner. He has subscribed to Hello Health, and he says that he actively no longer sees patients. Yeah. And he likes this. He thinks of himself as the Steve Jobs of healthcare, okay? Or more like a company evangelist. He's kind of strange. But anyway, he tells all his colleagues, hey, you need to get this because they'll help you build, quote, a better mousetrap. I don't look at myself as a rodent. I look at myself as a person and maybe a patient from time to time, but not a mouse. Anyway, so he's one of these new age physicians that says the healthcare that we've known is broken and we need to redo it, and we need a more modern healthcare system that he says is Facebooked and Wi-Fi to death. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think it's contrary to everything they've probably ever taught in medicine. The idea, if you have someone who is sick, you have to examine that person yourself as a doctor in order to make a diagnosis. Well, if we're going to let someone send their diagnosis in over the email, and they're, well, I think I've got a problem with my foot. Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, if you're not a doctor, how can you diagnose your own problems?
And that is a good question. Actually, I'm going to give you some information from an attorney who specializes in healthcare compliance and regulatory law. You know, because a lot of patients think, hey, this is great. I don't actually have to leave my driveway to see my doctor. I can be sick in bed with the flu, send him my symptoms. They'll email a prescription to my drugstore. I can have my drugstore deliver it. It's great. Right. But according to Robert Cofield, he's the attorney that specializes in healthcare compliance and regulatory law. He says this has created a big firestorm, actually, he says, on the legal front. He said patients are already accusing their doctors of violating their privacy. Okay. Lawyers actually have been asking in court if internet-based communication can adequately substitute for an in-person exam. Exactly what you were saying.
Exactly.
So he says, really, there's really no laws in place to protect patients or doctors from this type of technology-based care. He said the other aspect is that this form of social media healthcare is an occupation in itself, and small medical offices aren't able to afford the extra expense in hiring someone to manage it. You know, it is software. It's a platform. It needs maintenance. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm sure it needs it. You know, the thing, I'm going to guess that the doctor who subscribes to one of these systems mm-hmm. will inevitably have patients who, once they've paid a flat $35 a month for someone to talk to, he may be getting tweets from them every 30 minutes. You know, some of these people
have
a hypochondriacs and they're going
to
clog his system up. And how is he going to deal with those endless tweets? Does he ration them?
I know.
Five tweets a month or what?
Yeah, and this all could, you know, transfer to, you know, really bad karma in the, I guess, blog world where people say, well, he never answers you. So don't even
try. Yeah, I understand. Where he never answers you, I'm going to guess that he's going to hire some assistant who just got out of high school.
That knows how to tweet.
knows how to tweet. If you know how to tweet, we've got a job for you. And I want you to filter through all these tweets that come to me from all my patients and just delete the ones that are irrelevant or they don't seem to be very important. Go ahead. You're not a doctor, but delete them anyway. And or maybe you could answer them yourself. You know, you can have a Dear Abby hotline or something, a tweeter.
Well, Yeah, according to the attorney, says there's a clear lack of e-health protocols, and which makes insurance companies really nervous, too. By the way, anybody that subscribes to this kind of e-health platform doesn't accept insurance, okay? So now you have the HIPAA laws, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. If you're thinking that's going to help you, forget it about the secure personal data. You know, Snowden's already said nothing's secure, right?
No, so nothing's according, secure.
Yeah. So according to Attorney Caulfield, the HIPAA law enables your doctor to use your patient data without your consent for three purposes: treatment, payment for insurance reimbursement, and healthcare operations. So HIPAA really doesn't prohibit the social or public networks if patients consent to communicating over the internet. So what the legal eagles are trying to determine is they're going to actually need a whole new regulatory structure that covers high-tech healthcare. Oh, yay! More laws.
Isn't yeah, that's what we need. That's what made this country great. Was more laws and more laws and more laws, and that's what we need right now. You said earlier, and it may be that you just used this as a hypothetical example, but I thought I heard you say that in theory the patient could call the doctor, tweet him, tell him the symptoms, and they would email drugs to this guy, to the patient.
Yeah, they could. Yep.
Well, my point is, it sounds like you're in a position to self-medicate and self-prescribe. And you just make a tweet to the doctor and say, listen, I got this, that, or the other. And knowing the symptoms, if you know how the symptoms will be interpreted by the doctor, is he going to just automatically authorize some drug?
Well, that's a good question, you know, because obviously that would be, there would be really very little documentation about this visit and for this treatment.
Yeah, you know? I understand.
I know. This is where the problem is coming in. And actually, you know, I'm sure they're going to have little things on their website, you know, read this policy and check agree in order for you to sign up. So read everything real careful. But I think this e-tech healthcare, all these laws and everything, this new system, this new platform is really basically the ATM to what the ATMs were to banking. You know, it's just to move people through the system quickly for the least amount of overhead costs and expense and time.
Maximum amount of profit.
Sure. Absolutely. Yep. Now, here's the thing. Independent physicians, the small independent guys, the small practices, they're right now not able to afford the upfront costs for these type of services. So right now it's the larger practices and the hospitals that are using this. Now, here's something that's real interesting, is that the Washington Post published a report on the national and international analysis of our healthcare, and it was titled Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. And in a nutshell, it says the U.S. ranks 26th in life expectancy. And they also said that America is the country that spends the most on medical equipment. And we pay the most for our drugs, too. So what their analysis showed was our healthcare system is heavy on testing and screening people with all these MRIs and CT scans and whatnot. But they're really low on the follow-up and treatment. So it's almost like get you in here and charge you, $5,000 for a test, and then they're really slack on following up on that. And here's the other thing, is that countries that don't have all these scans and equipments, like Austria, they don't even have half the test equipment the United States has, but they have 2 years more life expectancy than we do.
Well, that just goes to, we have doctors that are perhaps in Austria. They're actually interested in healing people rather than playing golf on Wednesday, maybe with Obama, sneak off to Martha's Vineyard to play golf with Obama. It's just another indictment of the healthcare system, and it's evidence that we want to stay as far away as we possibly can. If you got to go there, you got to go there. But if you can do anything to prevent that, it's a good idea to engage in that prevention. What can thepowerherbs.com do to help people to prevent having to go see the doctor?
I agree. I think healthcare has its place. Trauma. but they're not going to help you with prevention or disease reversal, okay, because management of your disease is more lucrative. So patients have to do that for themselves. And frankly, I have found the cleanse and nourish approach to pretty much cover a good majority of the problems out there. So get the toxins out, put the nutrition in, and you got most things whooped, in my opinion. So we have cleanses. Yep, we have cleanses. We have immune-boosting products, and they can call for a free product catalog. Our toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or they visit the website, thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. Thank you, Wendy. Look forward to talking to you again on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. This is the last day of the special. We've had a special here Monday and Tuesday. This is the last day that the special will run because of the $20 St. Gaudens coins that were previously available. Just about sold out, not quite. We still have a few left. MS63, $20 St. Gaudens coins. That's 1 ounce of gold, 1 ounce silver eagles, shipping included, $1,565. The coins were minted, the MS63 St. Gaudens were minted between 1907 and 1933. $20 St. Gaudens coins were the crucial building blocks of expanding U.S. financial power in the early 20th century. The Mint State 63 condition, these coins combine a beautiful design, true scarcity, large gold content, and low prices, $1,565, and again, that includes a free one-ounce silver eagle. Get in on it now. They're about gone, but there's still a few left. 1-800-375-4188. And now we're going to find out if Frank is on the line. Frank, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
This is Frank Stefan. He is the producer of the program. He takes all the heat and the rest of this sort of thing when things mess up, but actually he's a pretty good guy. And generally speaking, we hate to admit it, but when there are mistakes, they're probably the fault of somebody other than Frank. All right, so
just remember, I'm recording this, Al.
Yeah, I'll be on my best behavior.
I'll be playing it back here. There's just that clip. Every time I get blamed, I'll just play that.
Yeah, well, I'll deny it. I'll say this was, it's like Photoshopped.
Yes,
they do
that's
voice
right.
Chopped. Here's an interesting, we will get into economics and whatever political events are taking place in a moment, more so than this first one, which is just a little odd. Here's something from dailycause.com. And the headline is, Missouri GOP outraged about voter registration booths in Ferguson. It seems that some citizens in Ferguson, Missouri, want to increase the extremely low voter participation rate in Ferguson. And the Missouri GOP, at least its leadership, is not happy about the effort at all. Here's a report from the New Civil Rights Movement. It says, in an interview with Breitbart News, Missouri RNC, Republican National Committee, Executive Director Matt Wills, expressed outrage about the reports of voter registration booths popping up in Ferguson. If that's not fanning the political flames, I don't know what is, Wills said. I think it's not only disgusting, but completely inappropriate. And what this implicates. We've got somebody got shot and died in Ferguson, Missouri. But it doesn't take any time before it's fairly apparent. We can wonder, does anyone really care that this kid Michael Brown was killed? Or is everyone trying to capture some of the energy associated with Brown's death to advance their own agenda? Oh, we have people coming in, Al Sharpton, I assume Jesse Jackson, trying to make political hay out of this problem. Everybody's commenting on it, including me. I don't know. Everyone has an angle. Everyone has a spin. How can we capture the energy associated with Brown's death and profit from it ourselves? In fact, I'm thinking about selling some St. Michael Brown T-shirts for just $25 each. And for the first 100 buyers, I'll even throw in a free title to the Brooklyn Bridge. What do you think, Frank? Do you have any Michael Brown specials that you're interested in promoting on the radio station?
Yeah, my T-shirts go with the oceanfront property in North Dakota.
I see.
You know,
that's
so
good. There should be a demand for that, especially with all the oil they're selling.
Sure. I live on the beach and have a job at the oil field.
I understand that. Have you had any of the oil fields? Have they overrun and contaminated your ocean front beaches?
No. The ocean's okay. That Fukushima's got that taken care of, but it's right. The underwater aquifer that's poisoned. So there'll be no drinking water, but, you know.
Who needs that?
It's a really nice place.
As long as we have Coca-Cola with lots of high fructose corn syrup, we're good to go. And phosphoric acid, of course.
And the North Dakota beaches.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing North. Like them.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think the only people that, okay, maybe not the only people. I'm sure there's other family members. But the only people really, I think, that have any real feelings about this that aren't, okay, people can have feelings, but they always seem to be couched in some other angle, you know? And yeah, I think really the family is the only one that might, you know, not have that going on. But then again, you know, I see these, Here's Trayvon Martin's mother on there going, we're going to make them feel us. What? You know, really?
15 minutes of fame just isn't enough anymore.
You know, I mean,
you got to extend this at least out to a half hour.
Well, and so even the parents of other dead children that, you know, had a similar, not the same, but a similar thing happen, you know, they're out making hay for whatever they think they, you know, stand for, whatever, you know, instead of just sending condolences and saying, gee, you know, like in the old days, that's what would happen. People would say, gosh, you know, they'd send cards and letters to the family. Now you got to get on the evening news and make a statement and push an agenda and all this other stuff.
Is that just human nature? I mean, are we really dealing with anything all that remarkable? Or is it just human nature to take advantage of whatever opportunity comes along and try to spin it for their own best interest?
Well, yes, I think it is human nature. But then again, I think human nature has been modified over the years to be this way. Because I don't think human nature 50 years ago was the same human nature we have today. I mean, not on the surface. Okay, people might have thought about trying to profit off of someone else's misery and heartache, but they wouldn't make such a big, obvious show of it 50 years ago. Okay, now it's like, it's really the T-shirts.
Anything
I'm making T-shirts. Hey, I'm out on the side of the street with T-shirts here.
Well, you know, it's partly we have lost. There used to be a sense of decorum and what was appropriate and the rest of it, and it's kind of broken down.
Yeah.
Now anything goes. And that anything goes, you know, it used to be people were more polite. They might have been more inhibited. We're going to say they're less inhibited. People say, well, a lot of people say that's a good thing. But it's also not just a matter of being less inhibited, but it may also be evidence of people under more strain. I got to sell a T-shirt today or I won't have anything for dinner tonight. You see what I'm saying? It causes people to be less well-mannered just because perhaps they're a little hungrier, a little more desperate to feed themselves.
Well, and plus, I think our society as a whole has taken, you know, the more we talk about something, it seems the less we actually do it.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot in this country about people's feelings and words hurt and you don't want to say anything that could upset poor somebody's self-esteem or anything like that, right? It used to be, hey, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, words hurt and no, your self-esteem. But meanwhile, people are more rude. They're less considerate of other people's feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you're out there selling T-shirts? You're out there, you know, trying to get the vote because some kid died?
Yeah, I know.
You know, what about that? Did anybody think, well, gee, what does the mother or father think about this? How do they feel about this? You know, no, they don't think twice about it where they used to. But we talk a lot about it. Oh, we have to be sensitive. We can't, you know. Meanwhile, we go and do things like this. It really does seem the more we talk about something, the less we actually do it.
I agree with you. It becomes, we kind of blunt our sensitivity to certain things by talking about them. It used to be that your mother, your father would teach you, don't you say that.
Right.
They'd take you over in the corner, don't you say that about cousin Bobby or whatever. And you learn to keep your mouth shut.
Right. Everybody in the family knew about cousin Bobby. There was no
but
need
you didn't
to
talk
say
about
anything. There wasn't any need to say anything. Everybody knew. So shut up. You're just, you know, you're just throwing gasoline on this thing. So be quiet. And there's no need for that. But now, apparently, people want to see it burn.
I don't know if they want to see it burn or they've just become indifferent to the whole thing.
Or they're too stupid to realize gasoline's, you know, flammable.
Yeah.
I mean,
you watch enough movies, you become desensitized to a lot
true.
Of things.
That is true.
And it may be that, you know, now we all have to say something about cousin Bobby so we can all get a good rise out of it.
Yeah.
In part because we've been desensitized. But in any case, world continues to
and
turn.
Plus, if we're picking on Uncle Bobby, we're not picking, or cousin Bobby, nobody's picking on me.
That's exactly right. I remember, I understood that when I was a child.
Sure, sure. That's an easy
learned
lesson.
How to tease other kids because then they didn't have time to tease you.
Right, or they were afraid to tease you after a while because they knew, uh-oh, I tease him, he'll tease me back 10 times as hard.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, so... But now
usually
we got to. But now we get
assured insulting.
Yeah, that's right. Now we get to take it on Twitter and go worldwide with it. That's really great.
And nobody cares.
Nope. You know, yeah. One thing that I'm kind of wondering about because of a IM I got yesterday from a truck driver who lives down in that area and goes through this area quite a bit and has said, look, you know, the unemployment rate there is over 50%. They've got nothing but abandoned buildings.
You mean at Ferguson,
well,
Missouri?
Well, the St. Louis and St. Louis suburb area, that whole area. And, you know, they have nothing but empty buildings that used to house factories that are really empty. All the machinery's gone. And I'm wondering, okay, that's a bad situation to begin with.
Yep.
I can't imagine what's going on now is making it better. What is gonna be the economic impact of this when finally everybody decides, all right, let's stop burning the place down, let's pull the tanks back in a garage, you know, and it's all okay, let's get back to life. I wonder what kind of economic, is this gonna be a windfall? Is the federal government gonna just start piling in, you know, lots of aid, or are they just gonna say, well, okay, that was fun, we got what we wanted, bye bye, good luck, see you later?
I think they won't say goodbye, good luck, see you later. I think they'll just leave. They'll fool around for a while, but in the end, this is not going to be a win for the people in Ferguson, Missouri. One way or another, they're going to be debilitated by this, and what can the government do? You know, in theory, the government could come in and subsidize the community. They could say, oh, my gosh, we have terrible problems here. We're going to put more money into Ferguson, Missouri, and see to it that people get jobs or more welfare or something. But as soon as they do, they're going to tell every other impoverished community in the country that the way to receive an injection of cash from the government is to riot and burn part of your community down. So they're caught in a situation. They can't just be handing out money and being perceived as rewarding riots. So what's going to happen? I don't see that the people of Ferguson are going to be improved. By the time this is done, 90 days from now, when it is perhaps forgotten and whatever, I'll bet that their average income, their standard of living, has been reduced by 10-15%.
Well, because some of these businesses that were, you know, looted and burned out are not going to open back up.
No, they're not coming back.
You know, some of them will, some of them won't. And the ones that don't, you know, now you're that much more diminished in your community that was already reeling.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, 50% unemployment is, you know, that's significant.
That's huge. That's enormous. It's almost unbearable. And what is Obama going to do about that? Invite more illegal aliens into this country?
Well, that's what he is.
Ship
doing.
More jobs overseas? I mean, Obama will sit back and perhaps try to point a finger and say, well, this is a result of racial tensions. But it goes much deeper than that. This is the result of NAFTA and the global free trade and shipping our jobs and industries to foreign countries where people like the citizens, the citizens of Ferguson, they don't have jobs. What do you expect them to do? You know, you can't expect people just hole up and die because the government has an idea about advancing the new world order, trying to get us all under one world government.
Well, I honestly believe that the militarization of police around the country is a planned event to go along with the results of NAFTA and GATT. Because they know this. They know how this is going to end. They know you can't take away all the livable jobs and drive the standard of living to third world status. And everybody's going to be happy with that. They know that's not the case, and they are preparing.
I understand that. They're even employing. I mean, I've seen reports It's not just that they have bullets for some of the private entities, like the Internal Revenue Service, for example, and I don't know which other ones have ordered, Department of Homeland Security. Not just bullets. I've heard reports that I don't know to be absolutely true. I've heard reports that they're also purchasing automatic weapons.
Yep.
To be used in this country.
Yeah.
We're not talking about automatic weapons to be used in some foreign country by our military. We're talking about automatic weapons to be used by government agencies in this country to deal with the great unwashed.
It's a an army manual that's been recently, like within the last couple of years, written, that's floating around, and it's a regular army manual, and that is what it describes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk more about demilitarization when we return. We have to take some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stefan. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Frank Stefan. A special from Discount Gold and Silver course, MS63, $20 St. Gaudens, plus a free 1 ounce silver eagle. Shipping included $1,565. All right, this is a deal, folks. This is only a couple hundred dollars over the price of gold. It is a collectible coin. Mint State 63 quality. The Mint State 63 St. Gaudens combines beautiful design, true scarcity, large gold content, and low prices. $1,565. And that includes a free 1 ounce silver eagle. So give Discount Gold and Silver a call. 1-800-375-4188. When we broke, we were talking about the demilitarization, the moves to demilitarize, based in part on what's happened in Ferguson. We've seen the governor of Missouri, Jay Nixon. He saw him in a a report about 2 days ago, maybe three, where he claimed to be shocked by the militarization and effectively and the military response of the police in Ferguson to the situation. And he claimed that this was shocking, and we talked a little about it last night on one of the other radio programs that Frank and I run. And how can he be shocked? I mean, don't these people have time to read? Don't they have time to read the internet? The news is all over that the police have turned into a paramilitary operation organization. The government has been providing, there's one report that the government is providing 1,700 tanks to be put on the streets of the United States. This is not about illegal aliens. It's not about terrorists. They're putting 1,700 tanks on the ground, or plan to deal with you and me, ladies and gentlemen. Your government is anticipating a moment when things are so difficult that your government believes they're going to need tanks in order to deal with the problem. And the reason that's important is because a lot of people are sitting back. You know, we do a certain amount of doom and gloom on the program where we're warning you that there are difficult times coming, and therefore you are well advised to stock up on food, water, guns, ammunition, gold and silver. You know, save something. Be prepared for what may be difficult times. A lot of people sit back and say, oh, that's crazy talk. That's not really happening. But the truth of the matter, the government ordered 2 billion bullets. They're using automatic weapons. There are at least plans to disperse 1,700 tanks. They're not big ones, but nevertheless, tanks on American streets. That's to deal with you and me, and it's to deal with us in the context of some sort of economic and political collapse. And that becomes evidence that you folks need to get ready for something big. You don't need to believe me, but you might want to believe Obama. Even though I try not to lie and he tries not to tell the truth, you can still implicitly believe the guy. They're getting ready for big trouble. So tanks of your own, Frank?
Well, no, that's the thing. You know, when you say, well, they're not big tanks. Well, any tank's a big tank if you don't have one.
Oh, I agree.
That's the thing, you know. That's, I mean, yeah. Hey. And it's just so, you know, you got to ask, what's the purpose? I mean, and it is against the American people. And, you know, there's a group of people out there that say, well, you know, these people in Missouri and these other people here and those other people there, the government's got to do something. Well, okay. I mean, I understand that, you know, but that's not their point. Their point, the government's point, is not to keep or maintain peace and order. Their point is to protect their game that they got
going
on. That's their thing. They want to protect themselves. Those tanks are for them to protect against us. If we ever get smart enough to realize, hey, wait a minute, you know, my neighbor really didn't really do anything to me. I don't care what color he is or what language he speaks. He's just trying to get by like I am. Why should I burn his business or his house down? Maybe I should start looking at the ones that's been lying to me for my whole life, and they're the ones in the, you know, $10,000 suit telling me they feel my pain. Well, maybe once I realize that, hey, you know what, I think
maybe they should feel their own pain. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
Instead of feeling my pain, how about you feel some of your own up there in Washington?
Yeah, you know.
And maybe that would make this whole situation a little more real.
They are terrified that the people will realize that. And I believe that's part of the reason why they, and I do think that they whooped this thing up down in Missouri. Yeah, there's things that went wrong, and there's a, you know, an 18-year-old guy that's dead. He was no angel. The cop didn't act right. This is a bad situation, but it's nothing to burn a city down about. But they sent in their little teams of instigators to go down there and whoop this thing up into a riot. And I think they do it because they're worried. They're scared. They think that, oh, my gosh, you know, these people with the internet and communication, what it is, are going to start realizing. I mean, hey, here's news stories about the militarization of police, and we're starting to wake up that, hey, you know what? The police are the problem. The government is the problem. It's not my neighbor.
It's not even that little illegal Mexican there. It's you know, and it's certainly not. I've never had a Muslim.
The problem what we're talking about here, the kinds of problems, the potential economic and social problems we're talking about, are not just going to happen by accident. If this breaks down to the point where they really need tanks on the streets of the United States of America, the reason it happened is because government has pursued policies for decades that made that kind of catastrophe virtually inevitable.
Yep.
This won't be an accident. You know, we can sit back and say, listen, there are some times when people just get out of control and you got to have some superpower in order to keep them in line. Well, I can kind of go along with that. But when the problem that drove these people to riot in the first place was caused by Washington, D.C., it changes the rationale for this. What is the reason for the government putting a tank on the street to keep people in line after the government had did what it could to destroy their jobs and their standard of living?
Right.
This is not just about trying to protect the country, the cities, whatever, from rioters. It's trying to suppress people who finally had so much that they can't take anymore. And there's another point on this also. This is going to be perceived as largely a racial issue between blacks and whites. There are people that point to other explanations and another basis, other ways to understand this. But as long as the whites and the blacks are pointing a finger at each other, they don't have time to point a finger at the government.
That's right. And I think that's the whole thing.
Part of it also. I think it's part just to divert our attention, and we're not gonna go after, get our pitchforks and torches and go after Washington, D.C. We're going to deal with people of the opposite race. I think they've put us in a position where they're essentially saying, why don't you and him fight? And we'll sit over here in the corner and watch the fight, and maybe even charge people admission to see the fight. But you fight him. Well, while you're fighting him, you're not fighting.
Yeah, and while you're busy watching the fight, while everybody's out busy watching the fight, we're going to be out busy robbing their houses while they're at the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of like, you know, and this has been reported before that this is people do. You know, they wait for, oh, it's Sunday. We know you have season tickets. You know, you're not going to be home on Sunday. That's a good time to rob your house. We know you're gone for 4 or 5 hours, so, hey, there it goes. That's kind of what they're doing. Hey, you two fight. Look, we'll make it worth your while. We'll get you all upset where this is what you want to do or you think you want to do. And once we get you fighting and everybody's watching the fight, we'll go rob everybody's house. And that's what they're doing. They really are robbing everybody's house, and they've robbed the American people to the point where some people are starting to feel they might not realize yet the government robbed them through NAFTA and GATT and all their foreign policy.
And inflation.
Well, and inflation. Add that to it and, you know.
Absolutely. People don't understand they're being robbed. And even if they do understand, they don't complain about it. They don't really generally don't understand that inflation is a form of robbery, and that's what it really amounts to. If you've loaned any money to the government owes you any money, let's say in Social Security, for example, or perhaps in a pension fund, thanks to inflation, the government will be able to pay you back with cheaper dollars. You are going to get less than you paid for. Thanks to inflation, you are being robbed. This isn't an accident. They make it sound like this is just an economic phenomena. It's not. Any more than breaking and entering is an economic phenomena.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, there's an element, a certain amount of economic phenomena to that, but the truth of the matter is it's a crime. That's what we're dealing with the inflation. It's not an accident. It's been persistent for all of our lives. At least since 1971, dollars lost 95% or more of its value. This is no accident. This is policy. They want the dollar to lose money. You loan them your wealth. You loan them your work. You put money into pension plans and Social Security that you're going to collect 20 years from now. And guess what? By the time you get there, it won't be worth diddly.
Well, it can't be. I mean,
you will have been robbed.
Everybody's real familiar with Detroit and what happened there with the pensions. But meanwhile, in New Jersey, you know, Governor Chris Christie, that some people actually think he should be president. I mean, this guy that piled away $340 million of pension funds into the Revel casino, which is going out of business. Well, that money's just gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
All that pension money, gone. Because, yep. You know, hey, look at all this free money that I can invest where I please. Well, now it's all gone because they're just such smart little investors, which I don't think that's an accident either. I think his buddies were involved in that whole thing, and he gave them the money, and he knew they were going to keep it. You know, nobody lost on that deal except the people that lost their jobs at that place and the pension holders.
I understand.
You know, I've got this thing here, and I wanted to ask you, what? Because they say federal officials said that job gains, like there are any, may bring faster interest rate rise. What is going to happen when the Fed raises the interest rates to the average economy? You know, how it's going to affect people, do you think?
It might be a good thing. Because one of the problems with low interest rates is it drives they say, oh, hooray, interest rates are low. Yeah, but the problem is the guy who's got any money to lend, he doesn't want to lend at those low rates. He will actually push his money out of this country and send it to some third world country where he can get a reasonable return on his investment.
Well, right?
In this country, if you can't make anything lending money, why lend it?
Well,
it pushes money out of the economy when they lower the interest rates, and when they raise the interest rate, even though it might, you know, it's a higher interest rate, and people say, oh, my gosh, interest rate's up. Yeah, but there's money to be borrowed.
Right. And
it
you might
attract
actually
money
qualify.
Back into this country.
You might actually qualify if they can make money, because what they've done is they advertise these ridiculously low mortgage rates. But anybody who goes in to try to get one, you don't qualify. Nobody but, you know, the very, you know, well-off, the people that are doing good in this economy, the people that are experiencing this recovery.
People that don't need a loan are the right. ones, as always, they're the ones who can definitely get
right.
one.
But they advertise these low interest rates, but nobody qualifies for them because the banks are like, no, you know, for this, it's not worth the risk because we're not going to make any return. Anyway, even if you do pay us, it's going to be minimal, and chances are you're not going to pay us, so forget it. And if the interest rates go up, yeah, people are going to go, gosh, oh boy, that's, you know, but you might walk in and they
There'll
might
be
say,
money
sure.
available.
Sure, okay.
You'll be able to actually borrow some money.
Yeah.
All right, so hard to know how this works out, but the one thing that appears certain is that the idea that the government is able to control and manipulate the economy is at least doubtful that they can really control it. And it's certainly doubtful that they're controlling it for the best interest of the American people.
Well, the one thing I see, the one thing that sticks out at me about this whole thing is that they are going to justify raising the interest rates because of some stronger job market, and I don't believe it. I don't think there is a stronger job market because what jobs?
Yeah.
More people got part-time jobs at McDonald's?
Yeah.
They're not going to be buying houses or borrowing money. I mean, they're never going to qualify for anything.
Yeah, they may be squatting in an abandoned house before it's all over. It's hard to say. But again, you know, we're about out of time here. We've got 15, 20 seconds left. And just want to remind folks, you know, pay attention to that idea that the government is talking about putting tanks on the street. They're militarizing the police. It's undeniable, and it's evidence they anticipate big trouble.
Yeah,
all right? Insofar as that's true, you should also anticipate big trouble, and you should get ready. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Frank Stephan on American Survival. And our financial survival, excuse me, we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord bless you, me, Frank. And who else, Frank?
Oh, just us.
Just, okay.
How about all the listeners?
Us in the audience. Us in the audience. Talk to you, folks. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.